Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Acts. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
This morning, if you'll turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 21. We look at Paul the Apostle. We look at some of the things that he went through. We're going to talk about some of that today as we get into the message today, because he really lived a very interesting life. You've got this marked out, chapter 21. Now just turn back just for a moment with me to chapter 9. Chapter 9 of Acts. Keep your finger there in chapter 21, because we're going to get back to it very shortly. Chapter 9 kind of recounts something radical that happened to a guy who was out wanting to persecute the church. He was a very zealous man, Paul the Apostle, very intelligent, very effective, and very zealous. Whatever, he was a 100% guy. He wasn't a 50-50, he was 100%. Whatever he was doing, he was 100%. It was pedal to the floor, whatever was going on, he was all the way into it. You know, it wasn't just part way or a little bit here or there, it was all the way with the gospel and with his persecution of the church earlier. So as we look at his life, he was a Pharisee, a religious leader of the Jewish faith, and you know, he really thought he was doing God a great service by trying to rid the world of this weird sect, the way, these Christians, these followers of Jesus. And while he was on his way to persecute some people, he came in contact with Jesus himself and got hit the dirt, basically. I'm giving you my paraphrase of it, but that's basically what happened. He hit the dirt. God revealed who he really was, and it just is this radical conversion took place from going against God to now true repentance, going for God 100%. Thinking he was serving God, but now truly living for God. And just a radical conversion took place, as we saw on that road to Damascus in those first nine verses of chapter 9. Then we pick it up in verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And so the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight." And Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man." I love the dialogue here, and we've talked about that before, but it's great. He's just interacting with the Lord. He's got dialogue here. It's a personal relationship that he's sharing with his Lord and Savior, and he's just interacting. He says, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." And here he has authority, and he understands that there's authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Then it goes on, says Ananias went and followed through with what the Lord put before him. He did exactly what the Lord had asked him to do. And that's awesome. But I want you to note a couple of things. In verse 15 and 16, this is really Paul's calling. This is Paul's calling. This is what he's been called by the Lord to do. You and I have a calling upon our lives. As believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, every one of us we have a specific calling and purpose in our lives. Paul's purpose was to go. He's a chosen vessel, and he is to bear my name before Gentiles. Now, this is somewhat of this is kind of some new stuff going on. You know, the Christianity is pretty much a Jewish thing still at this point, kind of a new thing happening here. But he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And he's going to show them the things that he's going to go through, some of the suffering, some of the things that are going to happen. We kind of pick it up in verse, just tuck this away for just a moment, because we'll come back to that thought in just a minute, about a calling, about a purpose, about a vision, about a direction, about God's plan and God's will. In verse 1 of chapter 21, it says, "Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail," you remember he's left Miletus there, and he's kind of traveling, you know, he's getting on with the rest of the excursion, wanting to head back to Jerusalem. "They set sail, running a straight course. We came to Kos, and the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. And we had sighted Cyprus. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left and sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem." This warning is going out about going up to Jerusalem. Now, we kind of touched on this. We didn't elaborate a whole lot because, man, chapter 20 is packed, and we did an overview and we did all we could do with it. There's a lot there. There are many, many detailed messages we could discuss and teach through out of Acts chapter 20. But we kind of did an overview of it, and we caught a few things. And one of those things was that there was potential danger or issues in line with these travels getting back to Jerusalem. You might remember we picked that up in, if you just turn your page back one, in chapter 20, about verse 22, we picked up a couple of things. "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me," Paul said, "nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." We touched on that, you know, about that ministry, that race that he was in, and that there is an individual race that we are on. Each of us as believers, what's the competition? You know, in a sense, when you're running, I was on swim team in high school. And yeah, there was a swim meet, and in a swim meet, there was a team. And within the team, there was points scored by how you participated as an individual person, a part of the team. That's the way it works. Track and field's very similar to the same kind of a point system. You know, it's not all just a team like soccer or football or basketball where just the most points. Yes, it is similar and the most points win, but you can really see your individual event. Not everybody swims the you know, 50 free. You know, some people do the backstroke 50, some people do the breaststroke, some people do the butterfly, some people do an individual medley race where they swim all four. You know, it's just different events, but they're all part of a team. Now, see, this is the way kind of Christianity is. We're all part of a team, but we're all kind of in a race, and our race is really just in the Lord as individuals. Are we going to succumb to the flesh and just do whatever we want to do? Or are we going to fulfill the purposes for which we have been sequestered? God's made himself known to us for a purpose, for a reason. And are we going to follow through with that? As we look at this individual race that we're on, you know, we look at the fact that Paul knew his calling. We just read his calling in the earlier chapter in Acts, chapter 9. In beginning with verse 10 and on through, verses 16 and 17 in that area, we really saw some specifics about his calling. And what was he called to do? He knew that he was called to reach the Gentiles. He's been on that part of the journey, hasn't he? That's what we've been reading about. He's been reaching out to the Gentiles. There's these churches that are getting planted in all these Gentile places, completely pagan places. And so God's fulfilling that purpose is happening. And he's also supposed to reach back and he wants to testify to the nation Israel. He's very burdened about getting back to Jerusalem. He testifies whenever he goes into a city, you remember, if they were able to have enough Jews, Jewish males, to have a synagogue, at least 10 or more, they would have a Jewish synagogue. And where did he go first? To the nation Israel. He wanted to go. Jesus came through them. He's going to them. He's going to testify. If they reject, he dusts his feet off and he goes to the Gentiles. And he starts, and you know what? We saw a couple times he sets up shop right next door, man. He's not wimpy about what he believes. He is committed. He is sold out 100% that what he is doing is absolutely the truth. No holds barred. He's going for it. He is not messing around. He is absolutely committed to what he is doing. I look at him and I look at his life and I just marvel at how he lives. Now, the Holy Spirit in this setting, in this situation, is testifying that there are dangers looming, basically. That there's issues out ahead of him. There's things that might happen. If you read on with his calling, it also talked about some of the events that might occur. Not only is he supposed to get back to Kings, he wants to get to Rome. One day, he's going to Rome. It's in his mind. One day, I'm going to Rome. That is the seat of all of the world's rule at that time. I'm going to testify to the kings. And I'm going to let them know. Because why? Because I want to. Because I think I'm really cool. Because I got this cool thing I want to tell them. Is that where his mindset is? He's very sober, I think, about this thinking. He is no doubt an adventurer. There's no doubt about it. He is an absolute 100%. He would drop in on... Do anything. I mean, as far as the gospel goes, you can see he's just a guy that just goes for it, to say the least, right? There's no doubt about that. We enjoy that as we watch it. But that's not in and of himself. That's the power of God's Spirit upon his life and his desire to fulfill his calling. He wants to yield and be obedient to fulfill that calling. Oftentimes, when we read on and we see it, and then we kind of blank out that last little part of his calling. It kind of says, and I will show him the many things he must suffer for my name's sake. We spend here in the United States millions and billions trying to develop more and more and more creature comforts to make your life and my life at ease, to get us more and more in a relaxed state of being. You and I will spend a lot of our energies and our efforts, unfortunately, aspiring to that same thing if we're not careful. Is that really what your life and what my life is all about? Is that really what is, as a Christian, that's the challenge and the thought? Is that, as we read this in the context, this is all within the context of what's happening. We just went back and pulled out a couple of things, but you can bet this is on his mind. He knows what God revealed to him about his calling, his purpose. He knew what he was supposed to do. And one of the things was that there was probably going to be some suffering involved. If you remember back to when we were in Matthew, this is quite a while ago, but when we were in Matthew's gospel, and we hit chapter 16, and there they are in Caesarea Philippi. And there's Jesus, this beautiful place, and Jesus is talking with the disciples, and, you know, hey, so who do men say that I am? And, you know, he's just having this dialogue, kind of rapping with them. He's going to extract something from them here in a minute, but he's just dialoguing, and then all of a sudden, well, so what about you guys? What do you guys think? You've been hanging out with me. You've seen the things that are going on. You know, who do you think that I am? You know, eventually Peter comes up with, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, this is all awesome. And that was great. And then we read on just a little bit further. And then Jesus starts to discuss. Now, mind you, their mindset was what? We are going to have a ruler. Someone that's going to come in and rule and reign over our lives. And rule and reign over the world as we know it. We're going to have this person that's going to come. The Messiah is going to come. And he's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem over all things. And that's their mentality. You're going to knock out the Roman government, which they despised. They didn't like the taxation. They didn't like any of the things that were going on with the Roman government. Let's get rid of the Roman government. This is their mindset. And Jesus says, you know, he starts talking to them about the cross. There in chapter 16. And Peter says, Lord, well, obviously we know this is a radical contradiction and can't be so, but he says this anyway. Lord, no way, you know. That's not going to happen to you. And he spoke of the suffering. Is it possible that suffering could be part of the will of God in a person's life? A lot of people will do anything to avoid it. And yet, as we go through the scriptures over and over again, we realize, wow, that could be part of the calling, that could be part of the experience as a believer. You know, here I thought I boarded the good ship Lollipop. You know, I thought this was all bells and whistles and candy and good times and let them keep rolling, you know, kind of a thought process. We enter that and we kind of forget about what really core Christianity is all about as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ. It may not always be easy. It may not always be comfortable. The thought is here is these people are all saying, hey, what's going on? What's going on with this? You know, the Spirit, I'm getting a little bit unsure now because the Spirit's saying, don't go. Is that the Spirit saying, don't go? Or are we reading that the Spirit is saying, hey, tribulations, situations out of your control and struggles await you? Paul, deep down inside himself, knows that this is part of what he's supposed to do. I've had the Lord speak to my heart sometime, not a ton, and I'm thankful for not the ton of times, but I have had those times the Lord said, Jim, you are to walk through this. And I had many people say, oh, dude, that's just, don't do that. That's don't, this is good. You know, you're asking for all kinds of things, you know. And the counsel was well-meaning. It was from the heart. And I'm sure it was to protect and insulate, you know what I mean? To keep from, but I remember those times. I remember, no, it's okay, man. I really believe the Lord wants me to walk through this. Difficult, dark times. Where things aren't always perfect and they aren't very clear exactly how this is going to play out. You and I were called to a life of faith. A life of faith. I'm thankful that God only gives me the parts that I need to know to get through sometimes just that day. Because if I saw too much in advance, I'd do an implosion, you know. It'd just be too much information. If I knew when I was going out to kind of run a missions organization after planting a church in Southwest Missouri and being there almost 10 years and just loving on all these people and just having this great time and kind of having to do a chapter 20 experience in Acts and just cry with everybody and tell them I'm leaving. And these are all people we've led to the Lord over the years. And it was rough, you know. And then going out there and you know, jumping on board with a new thing that God had put before us to do. And it was a great adventure and a great experience and all that. And then finding out just right more than 2 months into it that one of the main reasons we were really there is because my dad had come down with terminal brain cancer, and we were just to help him get to the other side. I'm glad I didn't know about that before I left. It would have been too grievous, to be honest with you. But God gives us those little bits as we go, and he gives us that grace to endure. But suffering can be tribulations. In this life, you will have tribulation. That's like a surety from the Lord. Not that you will go through the great tribulation, but that you will experience turbulent times. And that is very real. And yet, we spend most of our time trying to insulate ourselves from it. They told Paul this, that, hey, this is probably what's going to happen. Paul knew his Lord and Savior went through tremendous suffering, and for this purpose he came, he says. This is my purpose. And it's part of the joy. Remember, we talked about this last week. You know, for the joy that was set before me, endured the cross. You and I cry and whine because we have a little bit of inconvenience once in a while. I think if Paul the Apostle would just sit down and just kind of rap with us, and let's go counsel with him. I think that'd be a great thing. Take your counsel appointments and go sit with Paul the Apostle. Wow. Then he'd flip you right over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and he'd go, well, you know, I got a lot of hassles in verse 22. I got a lot of hassles, you know, from all these different groups. And, you know, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. He says, if they're really servants of Jesus Christ, let me tell you what I've been through as a servant of Jesus Christ. Labor's more abundant and stripes above measure. What are stripes? Whippings. Above measure. I can't really quite remember how many times I've been whipped. That's pretty radical. In prisons, more frequent.
in and out of jail. These aren't nice jails. They didn't have color TV. They didn't have basketball courts. They didn't have a gym. They didn't have, none of that stuff was there. In deaths often, people that are traveling with him, situations he's in, people are dying around him. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's a lot of whippings, man. That's pretty intense. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. You remember the time he was left for dead after they didn't throw rocks at his feet, brothers and sisters. They were aiming for the cabeza right there, man. Let's get him right in the head. You know, they want to kill him. They're angry and they want to kill him. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night and a day I have spent in the deep, or a day and a night, depending upon which version you want to read it out. Mine or this one. I've spent in the deep, you know, bobbing around, you know, just hanging on to a little piece of wood, you know. A day and a night they spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils. And that word we've talked about many times, but that word is intense fear. The fear that death is imminent. That's what the perils means. Perils in with the Gentiles, in perils of the city, my own countrymen, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the brethren, in weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings and cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. He says, man, that's what I'm thinking about, man. I'm thinking about, man, I share the gospel with these people. I pray, Lord Jesus, they would hang on to you. They wouldn't get sidetracked with all these other pagan things that are pressing in on them in their society around them. But I pray for them. I pray that they'd be encouraged and strengthened and that they'd follow you with all their lives. Paul looks at this, all these things that happen in his life, some of which have transpired to this point, some are still on the route. The part that we read in chapter 11, some of which has happened already, some of which is coming. You know, we're about to get into some shipwrecks, and we're about to get into that as we go through Acts. But needless to say, sufferings, struggles, problems, but yet what was he on? He was on his race. He was running his race. That was his race to run. That wasn't anybody else's necessarily, but that was his race in the Lord Jesus Christ to run. You have a race. I have a race. We have a race to run. No one can take your suffering or your struggling for you except the Lord Jesus Christ can help you bear it, endure it, and deal with it.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you. And maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com. Or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus Christ.